Kia ora, I'm Karen O'Leary, and this is Full Disclosure. We're going to talk to politicians, builders, actors, writers, and media personalities to find out how coming out was for them. This podcast is bursting with pride to be supporting Rainbow Youth. Joining me in the Full Disclosure studio is comedian, actor, writer, Eli Mathewson. Eli broke boundaries when he appeared as one half of the first ever same-sex couple on Dancing with the Stars NZ last year.
I think I still had a lot of internalised homophobia for a long time, and like there was still a little part of me that was like, yes, I'm gay, but I'm not going to be like gay.
Kia ora, welcome Eli.
Oh, kia ora, thank you so much for having me here to have a chat.
Well, you were the only person we could get at short notice, so no, but it is lovely to have you here. Let's get on with this very important, and I think it's a very timely chat to be having, what with what's been going on in the in the media and around the world.
Yeah, bloody tough out there for gays at the moment.
But it can be, and potentially it kind of always has been. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would say so. Every so often it feels like, oh, everything's pretty good. And at the moment I'm like, God, there's a lot of gays on TV compared to what there were.
Absolutely.
15, 20 years ago.
We're getting better at that.
Yeah, we're getting better at that. So some ways getting better, and other ways still stuck in the bloody past.
We're obviously here to talk about you. And I guess your experience and your journey in relation to acknowledging and accepting and letting other people know that you're gay.
Well, it's great that we're talking about that because that's actually the one subject I am an expert in.
Oh,
myself.
I thought you were going to say you haven't told anyone yet.
Yeah, I haven't.
Say, yeah.
So, I haven't.
So this is actually Eli's coming out journey.
A lot of people don't know. Me dancing with a man on Dancing with the Stars was like a little bit of a clue, but I think people still didn't get it.
I thought you guys were just really good friends.
We're just mates. Yeah, we are just mates.
That's what you said in all your Instagram posts. I was following that.
Just buds.
Yeah, and I was actually, to be fair, not this is about me, but I would just want to say I was very keen to be the first same-sex couple dancer on Dancing with the Stars.
Were you?
I actually got asked, but I couldn't do it because I was pretending to be a police officer.
So I stole that away from you.
No, you didn't. No, I'm happy for you to have had it. And also, if you saw me dance, you'd know it was best that you were there.
Really?
Yep. Let's just start off with a very simple question for you. How do you define yourself? That's the massive question.
Just the simplest question.
I don't mean like in every facet of your being. I'm talking more about maybe your sexual identity.
I am a gay man, he, him pronouns out here in the world, in a long-term relationship, loving life, living life.
Laughing about life?
Laughing about life, yeah, quite a lot.
So
yeah.
Live, laugh, love, male gay.
Live, laugh, love, boy gay, yeah.
He, him.
He, him. That's
okay, well, that was an excellent definition, very succinct and to the point, so thank you for that. Now we'll get on to the really meaty questions. Meaty, is that you can use that, especially with gay men, can't you?
Yeah.
I need to know about when you actually first came out. You know, how was it? How was that for you? How was it for the people around you? What's the story?
Basically, I grew up in Christchurch. When I was at high school, there was like two outwardly gay people the whole time I was there. And really, to be honest, they got bullied and I was just like, I didn't even give it to myself as an option. I didn't even think.
Yeah.
And I was Chrizo as. So I went to church until I was 15. And then I stopped going, but I think still probably kept some of the ideas in my head.
Mm.
And I used to have little feelings for men and stuff, but I would be like, oh, everyone's a little bit bisexual. That's probably just that little bit. And everyone is just a little bit bisexual and then they suppress it. I thought that's what everyone was doing.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that not only was I not just a little bit bisexual, but actually was full gay, but that, I was suppressing one of the biggest parts of myself. And I didn't really, like, I studied at University of Canterbury for 3 years. For a lot of that time, I was dating Brinley Stent.
Oh, Brinley. Yeah.
Brinley, famous comedian, Billy T Award winner.
She's also a woman.
She's also
just
a
clarify.
Woman. Yeah, that's pretty important, I guess.
Yeah.
So we dated for almost 2 years, probably like 18 months. But I guess we were just like, it was a friendship.
Yeah.
And it was a friendship and we got intimate occasionally with the lights off, you know, like,
yeah.
And it wasn't great for either of us.
Yeah.
And then I moved to Auckland to do drama school up here. And I think it just took me being away from my family, getting to know a whole bunch of new people, and being in a space where you get to kind of think about yourself a lot. And made a couple of friends at drama school. Like, we had quite a gay class at drama school, and just...
But potentially that's not overly surprising.
No, yeah. Weirdly, yeah, there are like quite a few gays in the theatre community.
I've heard that rumour.
Yeah, and so just the more people I got to know and the more I kind of just realised that to be a better person, you just got to accept who you are and be open and just like talk about your feelings for once in your goddamn life.
Absolutely.
I used to keep it all buttoned up. So then maybe in October or August, It was about the same time I started, did my first stand-up gig. I like came out in about the same month, I think. There was a girl in my class who is a lesbian, and everyone thought that we should end up together because we were the only people that like didn't have crushes on anyone as far as anyone knew. So they were like, you should end up together. We had a weird like drunken night where we actually did try and hook up because I guess everyone told us so much. Yeah. And then it was terrible. And then like literally the next week we were like, hey everyone, we're
this
both
is the
gay.
Story. Yeah. It was never going to work.
Thanks for all your peer pressure, but it was never going to work.
So how old were you here now?
21.
21.
Yeah, so it took me a wee while. Because how old were you?
I think I was 20, when I got my first girlfriend. Because, again, I did a very similar thing, sort of at school. I started to say, I don't care about the gender. It's just the personality. I'm all about the personality.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't quite ready to actually speak my truth yet.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And then when I finally got my first partner, who was obviously a woman, I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to hide this anymore, And I didn't want to hide it anymore. Yeah.
Good. I feel like I was a lot like, look, I'm gay, but it's just like a little part of my life. I didn't want it to be like the defining feature of me. And then the more time's gone on, I'm like, it's absolutely good and cool for that to be a defining part of
me. Yeah,
I
think similarly. I didn't want it to be the only thing that, and again, I still wonder about people that do define themselves solely by their sexuality.
Totally.
And I guess as well, when you're getting roles and being known as the lesbian actor or the whatever, it's like to have that
hanging
definition at the start. It's like if you say you're going to go and see I've got a female doctor.
Yes, yeah.
You should
say
I've got a male doctor if you're going to say female doctor. So you should say, I'm a straight actor all of the time, because otherwise that word can sometimes mean that it's different.
Diminishes.
Yeah, that's the word I was thinking. I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, it's an interesting mixture, eh? Because I think I grew up listening to a lot of broadcasters who either didn't come out until they were forced to, essentially, and withheld a lot about their personal lives. Mm. And it felt like that was what being a gay broadcaster or a gay presenter, most of them hit it. So for me, I'm like so happy to be starting out in a job like this in an age where I feel totally free to talk about it.
Yeah.
And also, I don't feel like we've got enough gay people in the media that it doesn't, you don't just become that gay one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. Did you, so when you came out, was it to friends first?
Yeah, my friend Cole, who was probably like my gay best friend at drama school, and we went to see Piranha 3D, and then I actually was going to tell him in the car, and then I got too scared, so I texted him once I got home.
Yeah.
And then we went a big walk through the university campus. And then I kind of slowly told everyone in my drama class and then was going back to Christchurch for work. So I'm trying to think who I told first. My friend Hamish Parkinson. And then I told Bryn Lee. And then I told Emma, my best high school mate. And then...
Was everyone's response positive?
Everyone was pretty good. Yeah, everyone was pretty good. I remember one person being like, people who had, maybe for me, when there'd been rumours about me being gay or whatever, like defended me. And then they felt like, I went out to bat for you because I didn't want you being known as gay Eli.
And you were batting for the other team the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. but that's, I don't know. Sometimes when people receive news, they think about themselves first, and then after a while, they're fine.
This is not actually about me.
It's actually about you.
And so you haven't told your family yet?
Nah. They're going to find out when they listen to this podcast.
Okay. Yeah. Hello to Eli's. What have you got as parents? Have you got a mum and a dad one, or what have you?
I've got a mum and a dad, and they've been divorced since I was 14. And then 3 years ago, my dad came out of the closet as well. I've actually got a very queer family because my younger sibling is queer as well. And so, there's 7 of us, three queers.
That's good numbers, stats.
Good stats, almost halfway.
So what happened with your mum and dad?
Dad was like pretty shell-shocked, I think, and didn't talk to me for like a day and then took me out for dinner and then was like supportive from then on. Yep. But now, knowing what he was going through at the time, I can see like that wasn't like a lot.
And there was lots going on there.
Yes, a lot going on there. And mum was pretty supportive right away. I remember I told mum like half an hour before I was going to do an improv gig, because I do improv because I'm a little geek. And then I like totally cried. She was the one person that I really cried when I told. And I don't even know why. But
I was just going to say, what do you think made you cry?
I don't know. I think it's because my family are, like, we do kind of talk about our personal lives, but we don't really have like a lot of deep chats. And that's one of the annoying things about coming out, I think, is that you have to tell your parents essentially what sex you'd like to have. Is the truth of it. And so to come out is to share something so vulnerable. And I just probably had never been in the position with either of my parents that I'd had to talk about something like that with.
Yeah, it is. I remember when I told my mum and dad. My mum was, she had that sort of feeling of, oh, I just don't want things to be harder for you. So that was her sort of worry and concern. But my dad was just like, oh, yeah, look, I can totally see why you like women. I love, love women. And he was like, yeah, Dad. Okay, well, let's not think about that too much. What you're doing with my mum and what I'm doing with as many women as I can.
Yeah, it's like, tits or ass, what's that for you?
Yeah. Thanks, Dad. Oh, yeah, good. Let's go and watch the cricket. Just going back to you, because I'm interested about your mum and dad. Are they still, and I'll use the word you use, crizzos?
Yes, mum is 100%, and dad is kind of on his own journey. He kind of had a crisis of faith sort of before he came out, and now he's kind of goes in between. So he does go to church occasionally. Sometimes he goes to a non-denominational church. I think he still is like, the teachings of Jesus are good, but he doesn't really align himself specifically with a church.
Yeah, because I guess obviously even within the big realm of religion, there obviously are churches that are very, very open and okay with any kind of way of being.
Totally.
And other churches that really don't like it.
Yeah,
we're talking
weird.
To you, Bethlehem College, if you're listening.
Yeah, haunted. We got to interview Helen Jacoby from St. Matthew's in the City, and Chris Parker for our show. And she is like so open and so amazing. It's just a very cool church. It's always very welcoming. I think they have a specific service for queer people. But even then, she is part of the like Anglican church. So she was fighting within that church structure for them to allow gay ministers and was coming up against it. So there's just, yeah, it feels like even the churches that you think are very progressive, sometimes in within those spheres, there's lots of debate and discussion
it's
around.
It's like society, isn't it, really?
I guess churches are a little bit like society. I guess any group of people is a little bit like
sports,
the big
teams,
group of people.
Even some rugby players are coming out now. That's become a new thing. Did you hear about that?
No.
You love rugby, don't you?
Yeah, boys, the lads and the girls and the rugger.
Just mostly tackling. The boys. No, but there's been a couple of very high-profile English sports people who have come out, and it's received some very popular and really it's been very well received, actually.
Oh, that's
so
great.
You know, again, that's that sort of hopeful sign that maybe the tide is turning a little bit.
If you don't have time to read the in-depth stories, or you just prefer to listen instead, The Long Read from Stuff is the podcast for you. Each week we showcase one of our excellent pieces of journalism, telling important or entertaining stories from the world of crime, sport, history, culture and more. You also get to hear from the journalists themselves about how they uncovered the story and how it came to life. So for your weekly dose of long-form journalism, beautifully read, subscribe to The Long Read from Stuff wherever you get your podcasts.
Who did you first fancy?
So, yeah, the Dan Carter jockey ads. I remember being like, I really want those undies, but it was actually not the undies that I wanted.
You didn't want the undies at all.
It was what was inside the gift wrapping. But I know exactly the moment that I was like, oh no. I used to watch this cartoon series on the internet, Flash Player, so it was like very short episodes, and this was like slow internet speed. So
yeah,
it was called Gotham Girls, and it was about like Poison Ivy, Harley Quinn, Catwoman, all the bad girls from Batman.
Yeah,
so they had this web series called Gotham Girls, and then I was like, I wonder if they've done a boys one. So then I searched GothamGuys.com because it was GothamGirls.com, and GothamGuys.com was actually a male escort service in New York City. And so then it was like, and the profile pictures for all the escorts you could hire were just close up underwear shots, and I just remember spending so long on that website.
So you accidentally came across Gotham Guys. Which was just photos of men in their undies.
Yeah.
And you were like, wow, I spent a lot of time on this website.
Yeah, and I think I was like, I just want to look. And I used to justify things by being like, oh, because I was like going through puberty, you know, being like, oh, maybe this is what I'll look like when I'm older. And that's why I'm looking at it, because I just want to look at like what.
Yeah, I'm just intrigued to know what's going to happen to me.
The journey that I'm going to be on. Yeah, that's what I used to think. But.
Okay, so then we've got Dan Carter. Any other like sort of well-known people?
Ryan Philippe in like Cruel Intentions. Hugely. Chris Evans, who was in Fantastic Four at the time, way back then. And he has showed off a lot in that movie. And also Jake Gyllenhaal in Donnie Darko was big for me.
Okay, so thinking back to obviously when you came out, it sounds like it was a bit of a journey. It wasn't just one massive announcement to everyone that you knew. Mm. So it took a while. Is there anything that you would have done differently, do you think? With the benefit of hindsight?
I always am like, I really am like quite a no regrets kind of person, mainly because of so many things, so many good things that have happened in my life that wouldn't have happened if I'd made another decision. So like I met my boyfriend on a plane. And so I'm like, if I didn't come out when I did, then I might not have been on that specific flight, you know? So I just think it's the journey to where you ended up and he's the love of my life. So I'm like, that's, you know, whatever I had to do to get there. I want to do it.
Yes, you don't want to change that. Otherwise, yeah. It's like sliding doors, isn't it?
Exactly. I do wish, I think I still had a lot of internalized homophobia for a long time in like my first relationship that was really entrenched. And so there's a lot of things. Even now, like I did Dancing with the Stars, right? And the first week I was like, let's paint our nails to match our outfit.
Yeah.
And then ever since then I've had painted nails. And I'm like, I just never would have allowed myself to do that through all of my 20s because there was still a little part of me that was like, yes, I'm gay, but I'm not going to be like, gay is basically really what was going on inside my mind. So to do with my attitude when I freshly came out, I wish I could have just been like, yeah, let's go.
And why do you think that happens to people like us, our generation? Do you think it's maybe that's becoming less of a thing for people that are coming out now?
I think Gen Z, I mean, there's more queer people in Gen Z already, which is not necessarily because there are more queer people. It's because there's more people open to exploring it. And now when I was at high school, it just felt like I didn't have anyone to talk to. If I was going to tell anyone that I was gay, I just didn't feel like I had anyone to talk to because everyone that I knew said disparaging things about gay people, said that's so gay, made fun of gay people. Like, it just, yeah. And even when I got to know, like, just out of high school, I had one gay friend in the, like, theatre company that I was in, but he was just constantly the butt of jokes and like it was just always a thing.
Negative associations.
Yeah. Which is sad because it's like if I had been able to be open, then it probably would have like
made it better for
For him, it might have made it less a thing. Yeah.
Did you go to an all boys school or a co-ed school?
Co-ed school, Riccarton High School in Christchurch. And what's cool is that my friend Emma, she's my best friend at high school. We did theatre sports together and stuff. And she now teaches in the high school. And it has changed like so much in every conceivable way. But like so many more queer students and so many like trans students and stuff that seek help from their teachers. And so it's cool knowing, you know, having a little mole inside the school and knowing things are way better. But even at the time, it wasn't necessarily like a bad school. But just our whole, all schools, I think, were not super queer friendly when I was at school.
No. But it's changing, hopefully.
No queer support groups, nothing like that.
But then, like you say, then you've got this thing like Bethlehem College that gets in the news and it's like there are still lots of schools that have got a lot of work to do.
And in the States, people are protesting this new Buzz Lightyear movie because a girl kisses a girl.
Yeah, it's been banned in 6 countries, I think, isn't it, around the world.
It's outrageous. That's why I'm like, I always encourage, I just want more people to come out because those people.
Safety numbers.
Yeah, and people who feel that way probably just don't have a gay person in their life. And if they had one gay person in their family.
Yeah.
They would get over it.
That is true. And that's actually, you know, with some of the random messages that I get from being on Paranormal, you know, I do, it's a lot of the time, it's so nice to see someone that looks like me on the TV and not in just in a role that's, I'm only there as the gay one, the gay character in the show.
Yeah.
But my sexuality is not even talked about. It doesn't really have to be, does it? Because it's got my face on it. But I remember actually, I think we had an email once from someone asking how many times O'Leary's sexuality was going to be brought up in the show. And Paul Yates, who's our producer, was like, oh, how am I supposed to respond to this? I mean, what is this? What kind of a question is this?
Yeah.
I was like, well, did they ask about how often Minogue's sexuality is brought up?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, which is just completely embedded in, you know.
In society, that's
heteronormativity.
The thing that's positive, I think, well, just not to talk about Dancing with the Stars, but I will talk about it. When I got, it's just so nice.
It was an amazing moment.
It was, the best thing about it was just the messages I got from parents of like really young kids. Of like 2, 4, 6 year old kids, videos of them dancing along with us. There was like one kid who'd been playing Dancing with the Stars with his friends at school and they were all fighting over who was going to be Eli and Johnny. And I'm like, that is like, I just never thought, I wouldn't have ever thought that I would see this as a kid on TV. And then to get to do that and then to get those messages was very, and that was really like, the world's changing. Parents are not afraid
to. It really is affecting positive change and for lots of people. You know, and if we can use this media, whatever it is, as a vehicle to do that, then we've got a responsibility, Eli, don't you think?
Yeah, I guess so.
Someone's got to do it.
Yeah.
Might as well be us.
Yeah, I guess we'll bloody do it.
We're both gay.
Yeah.
It's a starter for 10.
And that's not going to stop.
No, I'm not planning on it.
Although it can stop. I mean, sexuality is fluid, so you know, you never know.
Well, is everyone's sexuality fluid?
I'd be hard
mine's
pressed to say
stuck.
Mine's pretty
yeah.
stuck.
But I think this, like you say, it's a spectrum, isn't it? It is, you know, yeah, some yeah. people are stuck where they are, and other people move wherever they want to. And full credit true. To them, as long as you've been kind to other people, that's what it's all about.
Exactly.
Full credit to you, Eli. Is there anything else you want to say about coming out? Any advice you'd want to give to anyone that's listening who maybe is thinking, oh, I don't think I am actually kind of bisexual. I think I'm definitely gay.
I think there will be someone in your life who's not going to judge you for it. And if not, you can call Outline 6 till 9 every night of the week. 0800-OUTLINE.
0800-OUTLINE. Call it now if you want to.
It sounds like it's gonna, they're going to give away a prize. Yeah. They don't. They'll give you some free counselling.
Eli, thank you so much for coming and chatting. I really appreciate it. And you just keep on doing what you're doing because it's amazing and inspirational.
You too.
I will try. And we'll both achieve.
Let's do it.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much. This was Full Disclosure. Thank you so much for listening. This podcast is created by Kate Langdon and produced by Kate Langdon and Mark Ehire, with audio mixed by Jess Valla and original music by Eilish Wilson.
You're conflating a whole bunch of issues.
You don't want to be held to account rising child abuse numbers.
You can manipulate crime statistics.
I promised I wouldn't have a tattoo about gotcha journalism.
Hang into the National Party's attack line there.
I think it would be a resignation offence if I didn't deliver tax reduction.
I'm not worried about it at all.
Nothing iffy in there. That sits with you perfectly fine.
That's what we're focused on.
Whatever happens in politics, the weird, the wonderful, the important, the thought-provoking, we got you. Listen to Tova wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Chris.
Yes.
Do you want another very broad question? I've got a very broad question today.
Go on, then.
What do you know about sports?
Up the Wazz! Go the Black Caps. And don't forget Premier League football.
Oh, you do love a bit of Premier League footy, don't you? What team is it that you support again?
Oh, the current champions, Manchester City.
I think they're pronounced Arsenal. It's pronounced Arsenal.
But you know what's good about football?
Yeah, what?
They don't regulate soccer height.
I'm sorry? There's a sport that regulates sock height?
Indeed there is, and it's cycling.
That's very strange. Why on earth do they regulate it?
Well, I know, but if you want to find out, you'll have to listen to the Big Stuff Quiz, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, that's a cliffhanger indeed. The Big Stuff Quiz is brought to you by Melbourne Every Bit Different.